We're here today with Dave Colomb from Still Food Bistro.
Hello.
Hello. And we also have David.
Hello.
Dave, how long have you owned Still Food?
Brand new. I just took over Still Food on June 1st of this year. So still just getting my feet wet in there.
Oh, wow. And what made you decide to purchase it?
Well, the offering came up. The previous owner, Tyson, had this great idea to franchise his locations. So he opened a location down in Penticton, and that has been wildly successful for him, which is spectacular. So he offered the Salmon Arm location up as his first franchise. And when I saw that opportunity, I couldn't pass it up. So I saw that it was a great opportunity to jump into business in the Salmon Arm downtown core. And I'm also very plant-based food-wise, so it fit my cooking ethics and alignment perfectly.
So what's your background in food?
Oh, I've been a chef for, goodness, 15 years or so. I've been in the business for quite a while. I originally came up to Canada from the States in 2007 to go to culinary school at Okanagan College. So since then, my focus has been on, as a chef and working all over the place. I did training down at Rod's Regional Table in Kelowna. I've worked at Sparkling Hill and Predator Ridge. I was executive chef at Table 24 here in Salmon Arm. And the past bunch of years, I've been working away, which really sort of made me feel isolated away from the community here in Salmon Arm. So I wasn't feeling super integrated into the community, which felt a bit weird since I've been living here for so long. So this was also a really great opportunity to reintegrate myself and my cooking and my lifestyle and my life back into the community here in Salmon Arm. And it's been fantastic. It's been great.
Originally, you were not from this area.
Correct.
And you came up from the States?
Correct.
Whereabouts?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah.
So what brought you to the west coast of Canada?
Well, I originally moved to the Bellingham area in Washington. And then there's that typical story. I found a person to date across the border. and then our paths just aligned for me to move up here and have the opportunity to go to school at Okanagan College. So it just worked out really well. And I love it here. So I've stayed ever since.
Since you've been up here in Salmon Arm, have you been back to Chicago at all? Or do you go back and forth or about to Bellingham or anything like that?
I have been, yes, both places, because both places are still deep in my heart, right? Chicago, even though this is home, Chicago still, even though I've been away for so long, still kind of feels like home. And there's so many fantastic things about Chicago, the art, the music, the culture, anything you want to do any time of day or night is available in a city that large, which is great. So I love that aspect of it, but don't like the busyness of it anymore. It's just too big and too busy. I love the little small town feel and the community we have here. And I live out in the woods and that's great. So, and down to the Bellingham area. Yeah, I've taken bicycle rides and camping trips down to the Washington and Oregon coast, and it's fantastic. If you've been down there, the magic you feel when you travel that coast. So it's beautiful.
Yeah. Have you been to Vancouver Island, West Coast?
Yes. Again, very, very similar to the Washington coast, where it's just absolutely beautiful and rough and, magical and wildlife everywhere. And, you just get this almost mystical feeling when you're in a place like that. Yeah.
Was there anything specific that brought you to Salmon Arm?
Specifically, it was the job offer at Table 24 originally. I was finishing up my apprenticeship and getting my Red Seal, and that opportunity came up, and that was my first executive chef position. And I held that for a bunch of years and worked with the Podolans for not only their Salmon Arm location at Table 24, but I worked in their other hotel locations, specifically Grand Prairie. I operated up there, helping them during their busy season. It worked out well because here the high season is summer and there the high season is winter. So I would flip-flop back and forth in the winter and help them out up in their location. So I got some great experience doing that. But that's what drew me to Salmon Arm specifically, was that job opportunity.
And how do those types of job opportunities show up
mostly networking, right? With the food industry is a very, well, I don't want to say close-knit, but it's not a huge community. You see a lot of the same people throughout your career. You know, chefs move here and there and cooks move around. And I actually have a cook that's working at Still Food with me that worked with me at Table 24. So it comes full circle sometimes, and it's great. And, you know, we grow as cooks and as people. So, you know, even though it's the same person working for me, it's not the same working experience. We've both grown a lot. So that makes it pretty neat too. Our experiences over the years, different food experiences, different cooking, you know, working for different people. It's very dynamic. But yeah, I see a lot of the same people floating around in the industry. So that's pretty neat too.
What got you into food?
I've just really enjoyed cooking from a long time ago. My first career was in the music business. And I was a sound engineer and a production manager and doing a bunch of stuff on stage. I was a stage musician as well, and got away from that. But even back then, I was very into cooking. It was the initial push from when I went to university. And I think it was, you know, some of my first nights there at university by myself going, I don't know how to make myself dinner. So from then it was just learning and researching and figuring out how to make food and then realizing, oh, I can make whatever I want. And so then creativity started flowing. And so even from then I was enjoying cooking for myself and for others. So it was a lot of fun. It was definitely a line of enjoyment for me.
You spoke of creativity and cooking, and there's almost like there's been like a new wave of creativity in food. How would you describe sort of the evolution of cooking where we're seeing these new flavor combinations, new ideas coming up? Where do you think that comes from?
Well, you know, definitely the creativity of the people doing it. It's very much along the lines of art where there's infinite combinations and, you know, some of the creations are going to be amazing and some of the art is going to be amazing and some of the art is going to not be amazing. And you toss that aside, but you come up with these ideas and, you know, there's just so much. Food is infinite. Just when you think you know something about food, something else comes along. And yeah, like you said, a different flavor profile or a different combination or a different dish or a different way to do it or, you know, new ideas, molecular gastronomy, farm to table. There's just so much out there to explore. You can never know it all. And that's one of the magic things about food. And I have a lot of flavor profiles that I definitely point my direction in. I'm a huge fan of curry. I love curry. I make homemade curry. I make the curry paste by hand. It's really a thing of care and love. But even then, even in that small of a genre of food, it's still infinite. You know, you look at the curries of India and every region has a different flavor and you want to explore those and some are flaming hot and some are, you know, a little sweeter. And, you know, then you go to Thai curry and I mean, just the combination is mind blowing and the combinations are infinite and exploring that is fun. And I think as consumers, we've allowed that as well because we are so locked into, you know, traditional French style cooking, or I think for a long time it was just sort of one directional with food. And now as consumers, we're looking for new things. We're looking for new flavor profiles. So it just makes it infinitely interesting.
Is this your first business venture?
Yes and no. I ran a couple of sole proprietor operations just by myself. One was in cooking. So in 2009, I had a small little company called Colombe's Cooking, where I wrote a cookbook and self-published and then was doing in-home small-scale catering. So, you know, parties of anywhere from 4 to 20 people, and I would go in your home and cook for you for whatever celebration you had, or even just a random night where you had to have some friends and family over. I'd go in and cook, do classes with the people. So I did that. I was operating my guitar repair business for a while, but this is the first, you know, corporate structure sort of thing that I ventured into, and it's definitely been a learning curve. It's been fun and interesting because I really enjoy learning those types of things. But yeah, I hit the ground running. You know, I took it over in June, as I had said, so high season. So as I'm trying to integrate into the restaurant was already going, and the restaurant already had clientele, and I'm trying to do things to, you know, boost it and improve it, and we're doing small little renovation projects in there and little, you know, we have we'll have a big reveal later about some artsy stuff that we're doing. And so it's super exciting. But on top of all of that, on top of the food, on top of the marketing, you know, there's all the corporate structure stuff that you have to learn too, which makes it more difficult, but another layer of things to learn. So it was fun, but challenging.
So what is Still Food?
Still Food is a plant-based bistro and cappuccino bar. So all of the stuff, all the food that we have is plant-based, which makes it super interesting because that, again, is another layer. The drinks that I brought you today were iced caramel macchiatos, and they're made with oat milk. So that's lovely. I really love having oat milk in my drinks. We have some very unique dishes. So even when we come down to our eggs benny, we have it's a fantastic dish. And anytime someone from out of town comes in, I highly suggest they get this eggs benny because it has some elements on the dish that are totally unique to Still Food. So we'll start with our lox. So we have what we call lox, and it's a carrot-based product that's been brined and smoked that tastes and looks and emulates, smoked salmon, which is delicious. It's fantastic. It's a delicious product. It's made by Save to Sea. So it's a company that makes plant-based seafood products. So again, it's just carrot, but it looks really cool on the plate. It tastes delicious. And then we come to our Still Food egg. So it's not real egg because we're plant-based. The white of the egg is made from silken tofu. And we, you know, pour it onto the flat top and fry it. And, you know, it's about that, you know, it's egg sized. And then we have a little roasted tomato concoction that we have that we use as the yolk. So as you're cutting into it, the yolk is actually drippy. You have the egg white. It looks super cool. Tastes delicious. And then our hollandaise sauce is blended cashews and nutritional yeast and looks really cool on the plate. It's like this bright yellowish, orangish from turmeric, and it's really unique and looks cool on the plate. And it's such a unique dish that it's not something you can get just in any restaurant. So I love offering that up to people.
And you said that's unique to Still Food Bistro. How did you? I guess it was a trial and error process to come up with those. Apart from the carrot lox, mm-hmm. which I think mm-hmm. you said was a product.
Correct.
Available to you, but you came up with the egg benny.
I wish I could take credit for it, but that was Tyson, who was the original owner. He developed all of these recipes, and that's why it's interesting and fun to be part of the franchise, because all of these recipes were developed by him over time. He's been a vegan for quite many years. I can't remember the exact number, but I know it's been quite a while. He developed those recipes, and then I was able to step into the restaurant and take those over as part of the franchise. So now as you know, we are technically a franchise, so we have the connected menus and stuff. So we do share those menus. We do share the recipes, but also being a chef proprietor, we can both bounce recipes off of each other and, you know, work together for whether it be features or future products that we're going to do. So that's a lot of fun as well.
Are you working on anything that you've come up with yourself that you can toss about?
Well, right now, not any of the core menu items. So the menu is set now for the summer. We don't want to mess with too much stuff because we're just busy and there's not a lot of time for product development. I'm sure we'll work on a lot of stuff in the fall. Right now, we're working at our location on a lot of the vegan baking, gluten-free baking. So we have a lot of those offerings up to the guests. So that's a lot of what we're working on. So people can come in and, you know, grab a vegan cinnamon roll and an iced coffee and get up and go and go do their day. So that's a lot of what we're focusing on right now is the plant-based baking.
Just the day-to-day operation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was wondering if we could go back a little bit to your previous occupations. Specifically, you mentioned you had a guitar repair business and that you used to be a stage musician.
Yeah.
Being from Chicago being a very important part of the history of jazz music, and then there's a jazz community here in Salmon Arm. Mm-hmm. What's your connection to music? What do you like to do?
Well, I don't so much play anymore. I played for a whole bunch of years, got a lot of satisfaction out of it, but just, you know, after a while I just realized I wasn't that good. which is enough self-realization after, you know, two decades of playing the guitar. But I still play around. I play at home and I play with my kids and we, you know, we learn some songs together. And we, so that's where my playing really sort of ends now, is I play for personal enjoyment at home and just to encourage music into my children as well, which is great. I still do guitar repairs every once in a while, and I still do build custom guitars every once in a while, and I just get a big satisfaction out of that, because I'm one of those people that I just love working with my hands, and you know, when you can take an instrument like an old vintage Fender, or you know, one client brought me a case, and you open it up, and I my jaw literally dropped, and I gasped, because it turned out that it was like this 1952 Gibson hollow body, and it was just this amazing, beautiful instrument. So to be able to work on this stuff is a sense of pure enjoyment, and I actually get more satisfaction out of building and repairing these guitars than I did from playing. And
so you still do this on the side occasionally?
Yes. I do still have some clients that come to me and request some repairs. And when I have, you know, it's just the under, I don't broadcast a lot, because sometimes the repairs might be slow because I'm busy, but you know, my clients understand that the quality that I'm going to put in is worth maybe waiting a week or two for that guitar to be finished.
Do you have any affiliation with the music store in town?
No. I mean, I go into the music store frequently for parts or strings or things like that. But you know, they're great guys in there. They help me out all the time, but I don't do any of the work for them. They do all their own work. I have business cards in there. That's about it. But, you know, no direct affiliation with the store there.
Tell us about the music in Chicago. What's it like to live in Chicago?
Oh, and man, it was unbelievable. I worked for a company called Jam Productions, and at the time, it was the largest independent concert promoter left in the U.S. You know, that's the time when it was a large independent concert promoter, and it was a lot of fun. And they ran a series of venues in Chicago. So I worked directly for a venue called Park West. And then I was also stagehanding and working at the Aragon Ballroom and the Riviera and the Vic Theater and all those kinds of things. And the Aragon Ballroom, I was in this part of town, just this old, you know, these theaters were built in the 20s, right? So they're just these beautiful cathedral-like theaters with this stucco work that just isn't done anymore, right? And, you know, just down the street from the Aragon Ballroom is the Green Dolphin, which, you know, very popularly was Al Capone's preferred jazz location. That's the venue that has the trap door behind the bar, and it actually came up three stores down in an old record store. So very, very fitting and convenient for those two to connect. And you know, they did the big TV show with the Capone tunnels underneath. So those are the neighborhoods that I was working in, and got to see thousands of shows, you know, ranging from, you know, musicians that were totally unknown to the biggest names you'd ever hear. You know, I've Prince and Foo Fighters, and you know, just huge names. So it was a lot of fun. It was a great fun career to have.
And so, what's that like to go from that sort of environment to a rural setting outside of Salmon Arm?
Well, it's, you know, that was definitely chosen because I was done with the big hubbub of the city, right? And, you know, when it comes to, you know, arts and music, there's tons out here too. There's tons in BC. It's just on a smaller scale. You just got to work a little harder to find it, right? It's not as in your face, but there's amazing musicians, there's amazing artists, and a great community involved with it, you know, here. And you know, Vancouver has its own music scene. The Kootenays has their own. You know, as we're coming into roots and blues season, you know, you look at that list of musicians that's going to be rolling through town, and it's, you know, it's quite impressive. You know, you look at the festivals that we draw in BC, and there's a lot of talent that rolls through here. And it's actually fun because I pointed out to my daughters the other day what a tour bus looks like. Highway 1 comes right through town, and anybody touring music-wise from Vancouver to Calgary drives right through Salmon Arm. And you're like, oh, there's a tour bus. You know, it's the typical rock and roll tour bus with a trailer, a gear behind it. And you're like, oh, I wonder who that is. I wonder who's rolling through town. So, yeah, it's, you know, those sorts of little little nuances are fun to see in town, yeah. But music here is great.
Do you think your kids might get into music?
Totally. They're absolutely into music. I was actually speaking with someone earlier about getting them into some of the classes. They're still pretty young. They're 6 and 9. But both of my girls each have their own drum kit. They each have their own ukulele. They both play the recorder. There's a picture that I have promoting my guitar stuff where there's a Gibson SG on the wall in the background, and my youngest daughter very prominently said, "That's my guitar." I was like, "Well, you got really good taste in guitars." So they're they sing, they dance, they play instruments. So yeah, they're into it. They're going to be doing a lot of music stuff in the future for sure.
Getting back to Still Food Bistro,
mm-hmm.
Where do you source your foods from?
Oh, well, a lot of it comes from our major suppliers, but I try and make sure that everything that is possible comes from BC. Since we do have a set menu, it's a little bit more difficult to source directly from the farmer's market because, you know, you get something from this farmer for a month and then that season is over. So we do source a lot from a major supplier, but the vast majority of vegetables and fruits that we use do come BC grown. That's important to me. That's important to the franchise, to make sure that we're using as much local and organic as possible. You have a lot of local suppliers as well, like our flavor syrups comes from a company called Simps, and they're down in Kelowna, and Jerry Job is the owner of that company, and I worked with him down at Rod's Regional Table, so he's a familiar character again. You know, it's like that whole full circle thing where the food industry is a pretty tight-knit group of folks. The sodas that we use and the kombuchas are all BC produced. So all those sorts of things are very important to us. The coffee that we use is actually quite unique because we're working directly with a coffee grower. It gets shipped directly to Vancouver and gets roasted special for us. It's our own in-house brand. It's called Sandbox. And as you see, the coffee's pretty delicious. So, you know, we're very conscious about where we source things, for sure.
I imagine you've yet to actually source a lot of the farm products.
Yeah, and as that does come more into season, you know, we'll start using the BC apples and we'll start using more immediately locally grown stuff as that does come in. Right now we're using a local farm. He brings in flats of microgreens from us, buying some of his salad greens and using some of his other products as plate garnishes and stuff. So it's, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. And again, I'm just getting my feet wet. So as I personally am able to get into this role more, there will definitely be more locally sourced stuff. But again, yeah, we do as much as we can for local, for sure. Mm-hmm. Supporting, we have Karma, Farming Karma sodas, 1904 kombuchas, which are from BC. We're using Loop juices, which is from down on the down in the lower mainland. And the cool thing about them is they use recovered fruits and vegetables, so things that may not be, you know, pretty enough to go into the grocery store, instead of getting wasted or composted, they turn them into juice. And it's a fantastic product, and what a great platform to have. Instead of having food waste, you create a delicious, amazing product. So
yeah. What kind of fruit and berry based items do you have at the bistro?
Oh man, well, we have we have, does carrot cake count? So we have carrot cake and a little bit of a berry crumble. And, we just got finished baking just this morning. We were baking some apple cinnamon buns using some local apples here. Let's see what else. We always have berry muffins floating around. So those are, and we have a lot of gluten-free baking products. Well, when it comes to the main dishes, yeah, the salad greens and the radishes and locally grown arugula even our cucumbers and tomatoes that we use are BC greenhouse. Up my road is just tons and tons of Saskatoons right now, so I was planning on picking those and doing something with those in the restaurant in the next week or so as well. So yeah, all the Saskatoons are coming in right now.
To add more to your menu, how long does it take to create something new and different?
It doesn't take that long because, you know, both Tyson and I have been in the industry for quite a long time. So we both have our, you know, stashed away recipes that we use. So, you know, I'll use things for features. You know, I've brought curries out for feature items. And, you know, there's recipes that we store in our back pockets that we'll bounce off of each other. So it won't take long to create some cool stuff with each other.
You've brought up curries before.
weakness.
what sort of things on your menu are curried?
Well, I wouldn't say anything specifically curried, but we do have two noodle dishes. We do have a pad thai that's totally vegan, and we have a dandan noodle dish. Both are super delicious. The dandan's got a little special place in my heart because it's spicy peanut sauce, so you know that's always super delicious. Yeah, I'm a sucker for peanut butter.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, they're great.
The Still Food Bistro is located downtown opposite the Salmar Classic?
Exactly. Yes, correct.
And a number of different restaurants have been in that location before.
Correct.
How are you finding being on Alexander and the businesses around you? What's the community like?
So far, it's great. You know, it's really fun to meet all of the regulars that have been going to the bistro since way before I bought it. Being plant-based, it's pretty specific. It's pretty niche. I mean, I don't want to limit or say that that our clientele is limited to being plant-based because the food is quite delicious, whether you're plant-based eating or not. But you know, there's definitely that core group that is eating specifically plant-based and come to us for that. So meeting all of those folks is really great. There's been overwhelming support about me purchasing the business and coming in. That's been a lot of fun. You know, Tyson has been down in the Penticton location, so he was really busy with that. So now that I can sort of bring a little fresh, you know, fresh outlook into the restaurant. You know, I'm there every day greeting the customers, meeting everybody. So that adds an extra layer to it that's super fun. As I had mentioned before, we're going to do a little bit of a rejuvenation to our front. As you had mentioned, there's a few businesses that have been in there before. And, you know, we have our roll-down shutters when we close. Just security shutters. Absolutely nothing interesting about them. But one thing that kind of bugged me was that the old Fitzy's logo is still on it. So when you drive by, we have our beautiful new blue awning over the top, but then you roll that down and it still's got this like scraped up old, you know, logo sticker on it. So we're working on that. I'm working on that with a local artist to jazz that up a little bit and jazz up that little front seating area. So that'll be fun to have that. So as you drive by, I think there's going to be a little more notice to our frontage. But yeah, there's, you know, on the same street, there's Pie Company, there's Weekends, there's the, you know, the sushi place right next door. So, but you know, this is the season where people are walking around downtown, you know, people come and visit us after the farmer's market. I go down to the farmer's market to say hey to all the folks that I know down there, all the farmers and vendors that I've known from over the years. So it is a really nice community. And you know, it's great. There's always this little joke if somebody's taking something to go or take out, like, ooh, I'm going to wander across the street to Whereabouts. We know they're going to be lost for a half an hour. You know, that takeout thing will be sitting on the counter like, hey, where'd that person go? And someone else, they went to Whereabouts. We're like, oh, right. We know they're going to be gone for a while because that store is so great and people just get lost in there. So it's fun. I'm really wanting to create that environment in where people want to come downtown more. Like you said, we're right across from the theater. So I want to start creating more events, more catering, possibly some dinners that are going to come along in the future where we really build this downtown core. You know, it's, without getting too opinionated or political, I was a little disappointed to see that out by Walmart, there's yet another McDonald's coming into town. Like, yeah, they're building the construction for a new McDonald's. And it's disappointing to the businesses downtown because, you know, it's easy. It's right on the highway. It's highway frontage. And, you know, it makes buying that fast food easier, draws away from the downtown. You know, that food, that fast food is known for not being really great for us. So I don't like seeing more of those establishments in town. I like seeing more of the places like ourselves or Pie Company or Weekends that are making our own food. And it's, you know, made with care and love and fresh fruits and vegetables. And, you know, it's, you know, I'm not going to say everything we make is healthy for you, because I'm not going to lie and say that cinnamon bun is healthy, but but we do make a lot of stuff with fresh fruits and vegetables. Our sushi bowl is just absolutely exploding with freshness, and you know, just disappointing to see stuff like that. I want to create this downtown core where people are coming in. I'd love to see more pedestrians walking through. I'd love to have more options, right? I'm not the type of business person that's going to say, oh, you have to, you know, stay, you know, don't tread on my turf, you know. Welcome, come on in. More businesses come, more cafes come, more arts, you know, more art things come, you know, more galleries, more movies, more plays, more theater, more, bring it all downtown. I love that. Like, let's create that environment downtown, because all that does is just create more community. If you walk downtown during the farmer's market, you see those people in community. There's people dancing on the lawn. There's music. There's the you know, there's crafts, there's farmers, everybody's smiling, getting along. You see the people, you know, you meet new people. Like, let's create that. It's not just about a restaurant or a food or anything specific. It's about Salmon Arm. It's about creating that community and really, like, making Salmon Arm what it can be. And we're growing. I mean, we see all the new housing construction and people moving in from all over the place, right? There was the international festival a few weeks back, and my mind was blown. I had no idea that on the face we had so much diversity in town. I had my first Turkish coffee in such a long time. I was so happy, smiling, right? So just creating that environment, more people coming in, backgrounds and diversity, and man, and when you have an international community like that, your art changes and your music changes. And when I was walking through there was, I don't know specifically where it was from, but it sounded Russian or Ukrainian or something. There was music playing, and I was like, wow, this is fantastic. Bring it all in. Let's embrace all of that to create such a cool community. And that's what it's about. Not about, you know, a muffin or a coffee. You know, yeah. While you're cruising through the market, come out and buy a coffee. I'd love to see you there. But it's about creating that diversity and being plant based as part of that, because, you know, we are the only fully plant based restaurant in Salmon Arm. We are the only plant based restaurant between the Lower Mainland and Calgary. If you're driving from Vancouver to Calgary and you're a vegan, we are the only plant-based restaurant along that whole drive. How cool are we? Right? So, yeah. And these are the things that draw us to being a unique community in a unique town.
Do you point that out at all in your advertising?
We probably don't as much as we should. You know, I think that's a huge point of pride for us. And I think that's something that we should focus on. I personally would love to have, you know, maybe a billboard or something out on the outskirts of town, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I can do that. But you're right. We probably don't broadcast that as loudly and as widely and as proudly as we should. But yeah, that's it, yeah. You can't get anything plant-based from Vancouver to Calgary besides us.
There's not a lot of ways to stand out in such a way that you've described. So I think that's something that people should know about.
Yeah.
Do you have any social media?
We do. Yep. Still Food Bistro on Instagram. That's the main place that we post. That seems to be the hot spot for folks, you know, getting their attention.
Do you have a webpage?
We do. Again, yeah, just Still Food. If you Google that, you'll we're the only ones. You'll see it.
And what hours do you have?
Right now, we have been working primarily just during the day. So right now we're mostly open from 8 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we do have a bit of abbreviated hours. And this is mostly, not mostly, it's all staff-based. You know, finding enough staff in town is difficult. So we focus on those hours. And it's also not to, you know, again, spreading around the experience, right? I don't know that we would have a huge night draw every day, but there's other restaurants, you know, weekends and night cafe are only open later in the day. So, you know, let's share it around a little bit. They're not trying to sell espresso at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not going to be serving cocktails at midnight.
And how do you find that the lifestyle where you can have a more relaxed setting earlier in the day, as opposed to a very hectic, crazy nighttime dinner rush type of kitchen?
It's quite different. And actually it's quite refreshing because I come from, you know, the traditional chef background where, you know, my work week may have been 6 or 7 days a week. I mean, I still work a lot of days, but I'm not going to kid myself. But I'm not working the 15-hour crazy chef shifts, right? I have a great crew that I can lean on, that I can rely on. You know, some of the folks that are working there have been working there for years. They worked under Tyson, and they can, luckily, I'm glad that they stuck around and they were able to, you know, continue what they do under my ownership. And I was very thankful for that, which, you know, allows me to step away and do things like this. I'm still in the cafe every day. I'm still there, but, you know, being closed at 4 o'clock, one of the big important things for me is that allows me to have time with my children. That was super important and something that was really, really missing from my life when I was doing full-time chef work. And the other part about integrating into the Salmon Arm community and having time with my children, both linked, is a lot of the places that I worked, I traveled away. So I worked for, I worked for a company called Fireweed, which is, you know, locally based, but it's a fire camp. So I would often get, you know, shipped out in the summer to Lillooet, I was in Lytton, I was in Utsa Lake, I was in Vanderhoof, I was all over the province cooking for the firefighters, which is great. I loved that experience, but it took me away from the kids. It didn't allow me to integrate myself into the Salmon Arm community as well. I was also cooking for a place called Grizzly Lodge, which is another really fantastic local business. They're just north of Scotch Creek. So the Scotch Creek logging road, they're 50K up there. Man, it's a beautiful place up there. Absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, again, it's, you know, away from my kids. It's away from the community. Awesome, awesome place. Man, if you snowmobile, go hit Grizzly Lodge. That place is unreal. I've been watching some videos of the guys. They're always, you know, the owners and managers are up there doing maintenance projects during the summer. And holy smokes, I've seen some of the footage of them up there on the top of those mountains. Man, it's just local view is just unbelievable up there. They just got this view of all of our, you know, oh man. I mean, we've all seen it, the mountains and the skies and yeah. But again, that took me away from my kids. And now I get to, you know, I get to spend time with my kids, and my kids are actually super excited to be in the bistro. If you pop in there, you see them every once in a while. I'm teaching my older daughter how to make the coffee drinks, and she's super excited about how to learn how to make lattes. And they do little projects like putting the stickers on the cups or the hot cups. They'll put the stamps on it, or they'll wrap cutlery or something, right? So they're super excited for me as well, and they're really enjoying the experience there.
You talked a little bit earlier about bringing people downtown and creating a downtown community. In 1 week, there'll be the kickoff party right in front of your bistro, basically. So that'll be good. You'll have to stay open for that.
Well, we will. Yeah, of course we will. We'll offer a bit of a limited menu. We'll be out there with, cold drinks for everyone ready to go. You know, again, our locally sourced drinks. So the Farming Karma and the Wise and the kombuchas and the, you know, all that sort of stuff. We'll have those ready for people, and we'll have a small limited menu. So we'll do some vegan smash burgers. We'll be ready. We'll be open. We're prepared for it. Yeah. I mean, and again, it's not just, you know, it's not just about putting the bums in the seats. It's being part of the community, you know, being able to see the music, being able to be part of the celebration of the roots and blues. That kickoff party is a great idea. It's super cool. I wasn't around last year when it happened on the street, but, you know, I'm pretty stoked. I'm pretty excited to see it this year. And there's a whole series of shows that are going to be happening in the afternoons at lunchtime down in Ross Street Plaza. So that's super fun. I'm excited to see those. Some great talent coming through for that. Yeah, I mean, again, and it's just about drawing those people in, right? Like, Roots and Blues is already a successful event. I don't know who organized or who's in the background of all of this extra stuff, but they didn't need to do this extra stuff. You know, Roots and Blues was already successful, but draw people out there. It's awesome that now we can draw into town. We can showcase the town. You know, it's not just out in the fairgrounds, kind of on the outskirts of town. And I mean, it's a hay field and a rodeo ground. It is part of Salmon Arm, don't get me wrong. But, you know, bringing all this extra stuff in, you know, bringing that Wednesday on the Wharf show, you know, is sort of included into the Roots and Blues. That's all fantastic. Draw people into the town. Let's show it off. Let's show what we have to offer. I'm very thankful for that show to be downtown.
You mentioned you have a little bit of outdoor seating, 2-3 tables. Mm-hmm. What's your take on the outdoor patio seating? And
That's a hot topic with me right now. Oh, that's a tough one. I'll have to think about how I'm going to attack this. I am pro outdoor seating. Now, I have in the works a plan to also do a patio, which was met with some controversy with my neighbors. Understandably, I am not going to discount their opinions on the situation, but you know, the parking spots on that street are like living gold, you know? So to take what's potentially another parking spot away, people have been not happy about that. But the city has already said that that's an appropriate amount of patios to be out on the street. Whether the neighboring businesses agree with it or not, the city has said I would be allowed to put another patio out there. And I like the idea. And it's, I mean, again, it's not people have accused of trying to money grab on that. And that's not the case anyway. It's not the case. It's just that people want to sit outside. People want to enjoy the outdoors while they're eating. And I'm happy to accommodate. You know, again, that's going to draw people in. People want to sit outside. Let's let them sit outside. There's lots of parking around town. I mean, sometimes it's hard to find it. But, you know, that big Ross Street parking lot is very rarely 100% full. It would be nice to have a new parking sort of evaluation of the city and try and figure out how to add more and maybe create a stacked up parking lots somewhere and allow more parking. But it would also be very cool to see Alexander Street become pedestrian only.
I was just going to touch on that. Also, yeah. we've heard suggestions for that, and yeah. It seems kind of like a neat idea.
It would be cool. Yeah, I mean, we just have to make sure that the parking spots that we would be erasing are replaced somewhere else. And I think Salmon Arm, I mean, I'm not directly involved with the Salmon Arm planning, but I think everyone involved is aware that parking is an issue and it's a tough spot. But I also think that if I take one parking spot for a little patio, it's not going to be too big of a deal, right? One parking spot.
Yeah, for 2-3 months out of the year.
Exactly, right? We're allowed to, it's actually a little more than that. We're allowed to put a patio out May 1st and we're allowed to keep it until October 31st. And I think one of the differences with me personally is, and this is not saying anything against anybody else's patio in town, I am not taking a grab some wood and slap it up sort of point of view on it. I'm working with a local contractor, but also an artist. So it's going to be not just a slab of wood that you can sit on. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to draw attention. It's going to be colorful. I'm looking at putting a mural up. So we're going to add some art to the city. So again, it's not necessarily about just putting bums in seats in my restaurant. It's about creating the environment downtown. You know, it's going to be artsy and cool and new and, you know, so we're adding that extra layer of creativity to it. Hopefully that is noticed and appreciated to beautify the city as well. It's not just a wood project. It's an art project. It would just be nice if people could see that bigger picture, right? Well, and it would be nice if, you know, I mean, there are some patios around town that have nice planters and stuff, but it would be nice to use that as a creative outlet as well. It gets expensive for a restaurant to do that, but, you know, it would be nice if it was sort of a little personal touch for the restaurant specific and add to their creativity.
What is your seating indoor inside like? How many seats do you have available?
goodness, I think we have about 35 seats. So, I mean, it's pretty small. Yeah. It's not big. I don't even think we have that many. It's pretty small. We have a nice big long bench, so you can, if you really want, you can pack a whole bunch of people on it. But, you know, it's a small little cafe.
Do you focus a lot on takeout, or is it that just happens to be what people...
It happens to be what people are doing. I'm more than happy to accommodate, but from multiple perspectives, I don't necessarily like takeout. The waste for me is a big issue. You know, we are using environmentally conscious products, but from a restaurant's perspective, you know, we're creating garbage with that. It's expensive. Those takeout containers cost a lot of money. Each time I have to put an order in for takeout containers, it's hundreds of dollars. They're not cheap. So from the money business aspect, it costs restaurants a lot of money. And I mean, we hate passing that cost on because then it makes that dinner or lunch just more expensive, right? But again, it's what people want, so we accommodate. But it also draws away from the atmosphere. It would be nice if people would sit down and relax and have a coffee and enjoy their food, you know, a little slower, a little more intentional. But not everyone can, and not everyone wants to. Takeout's tough. It's tough, but we do lots. Yeah.
Is Still Food Bistro available for special events or catering or anything like that?
Absolutely. Yep. Actually, tying into other things that I do in life, I'm doing a catering event coming up here for a yoga retreat, which is nice because it aligns with the food platform being vegan. So that's a nice alignment to have. I'm going to be doing a few other catering events coming up. Yeah, so we'll, yeah, totally. We're available for catering. Whether it's, you know, me personally going to events, or whether, you know, we do it boxed for your, you know, if somebody has a lunch meeting that they just want food, we can make a whole bunch of our salads and bowls and stuff and supply them for you for lunches downtown or whatever you need.
It must be really satisfying to be able to have that holistic integration of food with healthy lifestyle, healthy, the mind, body, spirit type mm-hmm. Type of approach. How does that make you feel knowing that you're contributing to people's well-being?
It's incredibly important for me. It was a few years ago when I sort of had a conversation with myself and said, if I'm going to open a restaurant, it's going to be plant-based. It's going to be vegan for a few reasons. You know, we're the only one in Salmon Arm at this point. For my yoga lifestyle, that's important. Knowing that we're feeding people healthy food is important. I could not, in a conscious manner, have an establishment that was feeding people garbage. It's too prevalent in society right now. Our food systems are so broken. You know, these big fast food places are pushing food that's just terrible for you. And anything they pawn off as healthy is, it's just a front. Their healthy things are labeled, you know, they're loaded with unhealthy dressings or sauces. And not to say dressings and sauces aren't delicious, because they can be. But, you know, these corporations, these big giant fast food companies just have us believing stuff that's just not true and pushing this unhealthy food. You walk around and you just see people eating this garbage and it's not healthy. And you can see it, and it just... It confounds me how we have become a society that willingly feeds ourselves poison as a food source. So it's incredibly important to me to be able to feed healthy, nutritious, plant-based foods.
Is there anything that you would like the community to know?
Local community businesses, of course, we're there to generate revenue. But we create jobs, we create lifestyle, we create, you know, the town that we exist in. And it's just super important for all of our local businesses to be supported, to thrive. You know, I've got a lot of young people that work at the restaurant, and that's important to get our young people working. you know, whether I'm a launch pad for a future career or whether they stay with me and train under me and learn more about food and drinks and, you know, whichever their path may take them in. We are the ones that create our community. We are the ones that, you know, create the events. We're the ones that support the events. We're the ones that want the art and culture to come in. We're the ones that want... We are Salmon Arm, right? Our local businesses are what creates the town. If you go into other unique towns, you know, if you wander into Nelson, their local businesses really color that town. They make it unique. And I want the opportunity... I love the opportunity to make Salmon Arm unique and help build what it will be in the future. I think it's a super cool opportunity. And being a unique bistro that we are, I think we add a cool color to the town, you know, a cool little twist. It's not just about being a business. It's about integrating. It's about community. It's about support. It's about doing what you can, doing what you want to do to develop Salmon Arm as a cool place. I mean, it already is a cool place. We live in a place that people vacation. This is the destination, and it's for a reason, right? This place is amazing and beautiful. The people here are great. There's a lot of community support. There's a lot of things to do. Winter, summer, we are a place that people make as their destination for a reason, and it's super cool to be a part of that and help build and develop that.
Well, we certainly appreciate you coming in and spending some time letting us know what it's like to be a business owner in downtown Salmon Arm. So thank you very much, Dave.
Cool. Well, thank you for allowing me to be one of the voices of our Shuswap. I appreciate it. I appreciate this platform to, you know, to be able to tell everybody about what we're doing here. Thank you so much.
Thanks.